From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. The coronavirus has brought much of the New Hampshire economy to a halt, especially after the governor announced the closure of non-essential businesses late last week. Although that decision was widely praised for its public health impact, it has hit our once robust economy very hard. And so today in The Exchange, a two-hour special focused on the economic impact of this pandemic. In this hour, we talk with local businesses. Then at 10 o'clock, the latest on state support for the newly unemployed. Let's bring you into our conversation. If you're a local business owner, how are you faring? Or if you're someone who cares deeply about your community's local economy, let's take your questions too. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Our email exchange at nhpr.org. You can also use Twitter or Facebook. Our guests for this hour are Jennifer Wheeler. She's president of the Exeter Area Chamber of Commerce. Jennifer, welcome. Good to have you.
Thanks so much for having me.
And also with us is Phil Suter, president and CEO of the Greater Keene Chamber of Commerce. And Phil, welcome back. Good to have you too.
Good morning, Laura. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, and later we'll hear from several local businesses, including one from the Nashua area, one from the North Country. And again, we really want to hear from our listeners. If you're involved in local business, or if you're just concerned about your local economy, our email again, exchange@nhpr.org. Our phone number, 1-800-892-6477. So Phil and Jennifer, what is the playbook for this, for New Hampshire businesses? What models or examples are there for such dramatic change in such a short time? And Phil, I'll go to you first.
Well, thanks, Laura. The short answer is that there is no playbook for this, simply based on the scope of it and the uncertain duration of it. One way I think about it is that we're having a kind of societal stress test, much the way the banking industry went through 10 years ago or so. And maybe we haven't seen anything like this since World War II or thereabouts. But that said, you know, we have a great state. We have great people in the state and great communication at the local level. And chambers of commerce around the state are really focused on the local level. But it's just never been on this scale. We're changing
all four tires
on the wheel, on the car while the car is going really fast.
Absolutely. I know how you feel, Phil. Jennifer, there's no Harvard Business School case studies about how to survive a pandemic when you're a local business. How are you sort of navigating this and helping your members out?
Well, thanks, Laura. You know, we've used the word unprecedented a lot, and I think that's a pretty accurate description of the situation right now. I think, as Phil said, chambers play an important role in the business community, and we're needed now more than ever. Our mission is to support business, build community through collaboration, communication, advocacy, and education. And that's what we're focused on right now.
That's what you're focused on. And how do you feel about Phil's comment that, you know, you're trying to make a plan, like changing all four tires while the car is still running? I mean, what's your sense of what it's like these days for your members, Jennifer?
I love that analogy, Phil. Is it okay if I borrow that?
Sure.
Great. I think, you know, the other analogy that I've heard is kind of like drinking out of the fire hose. You know, every day is different. The situation changes sometimes hour by hour, day by day. And so there definitely is not a playbook. And trying to adapt as best as possible is right now does feel a little bit like drinking out of the fire hose.
What types of businesses in your community, Jennifer, have been the most affected?
Well, certainly restaurants and our small Main Street businesses are taking a significant hit. But, you know, it's really clear every business and every industry has been impacted in some way across the board.
Well, and speaking of businesses, I really do want to hear from local businesses this hour. Tell us how you're doing in this sort of wild, crazy situation that we're in right now, especially with the closure of non-essential businesses late last week. Our number here in the Exchange is 1-800-892-6477. And Phil and Jennifer, let's take a call. This is Kathy from Sugar Hill. Hi, Kathy. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for having me. I'm actually the owner of Polly's Pancake Parlor here in Sugar Hill.
Oh, my goodness. The famous Polly's Pancake House. What's going on at Polly's?
It's deathly quiet. So we tried doing the takeout for the past 2 weekends only because we were planning on being open those 2 weekends. And mud season up here in the North Country is pretty quiet anyway. And we had some loyal supporters, which was fantastic. But we've decided to observe our already scheduled spring break for the next couple of weeks, and probably longer than we had planned. But we took time yesterday to shut down refrigeration, clean out things, and now it's just sort of like a ghost town. So it's unnerving.
Yeah. I've heard from other tourism-related businesses, especially in the northern part of the state, but really throughout New Hampshire, that, you know, March and April are kind of the slow season. Some people shut down or take time off during that time. What are you planning for in the spring, or can you even make plans right now, Kathy?
Well, you know, the hardest part is our employees. I literally cried on the phone 2 weeks ago with the unemployment office, just making sure my employees are going to be taken care of. And never had to do this. To lay 40 people off was heartbreaking, but I'm glad they're at least being somewhat taken care of. I have a small, mostly the family crew is working on some small projects anyway. We do cleaning, deep cleaning, take this time to do some planning for the future, which is hard to do right now. So it's just really difficult to keep on like business as normal and function. And it's taken me a good solid 2 weeks to finally get back sort of on track.
Kathy, I'm curious, because some businesses carry out is obvious, you know, pizza places, sub shops, you know, Chinese food, but other restaurants don't really lend themselves to carry out. Was that a easy or hard decision for you to just say, you know, forget the carry out, it's just not working?
Well, you know, we may come back to it, and if this keeps going on long into to May, we probably will reopen up for a limited amount. We sort of had a model online anyway, because we kind of did it in the winter time when it was slower season, but it doesn't really work for us. You know, not a lot of people think of pancakes on the styrofoam or recyclable plate, so it's a little bit different for us. But it's not a huge money-making adventure, especially here in Sugar Hill. Not a lot of foot traffic that's always going by, especially now that the stay-at-home order has been lined up in place.
Right. Well, Kathy, it's really good to hear from you. My goodness. Your place is famous, and I hope it recovers soon. Thank you for calling in.
It will. Thank you so much. We've had some wonderful support from people. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Again, our number for you to join us, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Our email is exchange@nhpr.org. And today in The Exchange, it's a two-hour special looking at the economic effects of the coronavirus with shutdowns and slowdowns widespread across the state. We're checking in this hour with members of the state's business community. And later at 10 o'clock, we'll talk about new unemployment benefits. Phil, to you, what about in Keene? What types of businesses seem to be especially hard hit in your area?
Well, I think Jen was right that it affects everybody, and certainly the ones on Main Street are very affected. Some were better positioned than others a little bit, in the sense that they were already in the takeout business, if they were restaurants, or in the delivery business, if they were some other kind of business. But what I find really heartening is that, particularly in Keene, in downtown Keene, Luca Paris, who owns Luca's Mediterranean Cafe, has been kind of quarterbacking the restaurant community there and sharing best practices about how to do cleaning, about how to do curbside pickup, and basically how to be in the takeout business. So there's a huge kind of community that's emerging and communicating now, really even more than ever. We've had a couple of restaurants who had great takeout numbers over the weekend. There's a very strong buy local kind of inclination in the Monadnock region, and people are doing that wherever they can.
Many listeners have been responding to NHPR's survey about how this crisis has affected their work. Here's a few from the hospitality industry since we're talking about it. Marion in Epping wrote, "I'm a travel advisor running a small business in New Hampshire, and my entire business is commission-based, much of it with the cruise industry." Marion says, "I've worked through Ebola, H1N1, Zika, multiple ice storms, and hurricanes, and consider myself to be resilient to the nature of business. This time, though, I am anxious about the turnaround time for when families feel safe to travel again." So that's Marion in Epping. Meg in Aetna says, "My travel-related business has had 70% cancellations." And Nancy in Hillsborough says, "I am self-employed in the seasonal motel industry due to reopen on May 1st. This is going to weigh heavily on my businesses and have a devastating effect on my finances unless there is a quick turnaround." You know, Phil, you gave some examples of the restaurant industry in Keene kind of coming together and trying to help everyone promote this takeout model. Jennifer, how about you? What are some steps or examples that you can give us from some of these hard-hit businesses, steps that they're taking to double down, get together, make it a little bit better?
We've seen, like in Keene, we've seen lots of community organizations and businesses partnering in new and exciting ways, which, you know, I think will continue when we're on the other side of this situation. I think it's clear that the definition of business as usual is being redefined for everybody. For small businesses, you know, some have temporarily closed, others reduce their hours or the services they provide, some are operating remotely. And like Kathy had shared, you know, they're revising budgets, doing financial planning, taking time to work on their business, whether it's some kind of renovation or upgrading their online presence or working on their brand. So we're seeing that, you know, businesses are taking this time to focus inward a little bit.
What's the number one concern, Jennifer, that you hear from your members? I'm guessing there's a lot, but what always seems to bubble to the top?
I think right now what we're hearing is the concern, because I think this is unprecedented and we've never been here before. There is a lot of uncertainty as to what the future holds. The concerns that I've heard are around, you know, what businesses need to survive, money, staff, and customers. And when we're on the other side of this, they want to make sure that those pieces are still there.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit later about some of the money, as you put it, Jennifer. There are lots of loans coming from the state and federal government, and I want to get both of your thoughts on that as well. But how about you, Phil, in the Keene area? What's the number one concern you'd say that you hear from your members?
I think Jennifer hit it pretty well. It's uncertainty. All businesses are dealing with three things kind of simultaneously. One is this ramping down that's been going on with the closure or curtailment of non-essential businesses. The other is, the next one is survival. I mean, how do we just survive today? And how do we get through the next few weeks? And that's where some of the loans and grants and things that you just referred to may be very helpful and indeed essential. And then the third piece of it, which is something we're going to have to get to if we aren't getting to it already, and that is, what happens when the all clear is sounded? What happens when it's okay to open again? We're not going to be opening, by and large, most businesses with the same exact business models we had going into this. So the degree to which businesses can be thinking about that, you know, grocery stores, for example, have had hours early in the morning usually for some of our older citizens. You know, maybe that's a good idea to do all the time. So what the degree to which people are able to think creatively and be ready for that time, in spite of all the challenges about staff and customers and cash flow and all those things, try to spend a little bit of time thinking about what it will be like and what your business model will be like on the other side.
Well, I want to bring another voice into our conversation. This is Lori Aldrin. She and her husband own the Beale House in Littleton. It's a bed and breakfast as well as a restaurant. And Lori, thank you very much for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm guessing, Lori, the B&B part of your operations has closed. When did that happen? What's that been like for you?
Correct. So we have had the room side shut down for two full weeks since probably the 13th of March was our last room reservation.
Yeah. And we just heard from actually the owner of Polly's Pancake House, which was great of her to call in. And she said she cried when she had to call employment security and try and get her employees all on unemployment insurance. What have you had to do with the people who work for you, Lori?
We, it was lovely to hear Kathy's voice. We have had to do the same. And it's those calls, as she said, are incredibly difficult to make. And these are people who've supported you and your business and have worked tirelessly for us. So to have to have them call and let them know we don't know when they'll be coming back to work has just been a difficult piece. And additionally, it's been hard. We've been trying to support them as they pursue unemployment. It's not a quick and easy process. It takes a little bit of time and legwork, and some of them never navigated it before. So everybody's learning it in the process also.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I would encourage them to listen and call in our next hour, because we've got the Deputy Commissioner of New Hampshire Employment Security on the show to talk specifically
Wonderful.
About that. So that's interesting to hear you say that. Yeah. Before all this happened, Lori, how many employees did you have and how long were you guys in business?
Sure. So we are entering our fifth year of business, and most of our employees, we have probably 3-4 full-time employees and 10 staff total.
How has the restaurant side of your business been affected, Lori? I read that your husband is the chef on the restaurant side.
He is. And so we're in a unique position in that we closed the restaurant Saturday, the 14th of March, was our last in dining service, and opened that following Wednesday doing takeaway. And Adam is doing it single-handedly, essentially. And that's a unique opportunity for us because we are chef owner operated. It's not a model that would probably work or make fiscal sense if we were paying someone to be our chef. So essentially what we've been doing with that is having people call in their orders by a certain time in the day. We've limited the menu per day. It's really small, and asking folks to place their orders, and Adam fulfilling those orders and keeping it contactless and leaving it out for folks to pick up.
And how robust is that, Lori? You know, in this environment, I myself am doing less takeout than usual because everybody's home, really not going out that much. So I actually have found myself not doing as much takeout because I'm just less busy. People have time to cook. So I wonder how that's going for you.
Certainly. I mean, in terms of sales, comparatively to what we would typically do in the restaurant, we're probably doing 15% of the sales we might do in the same 4 days.
Wow.
So it's a drastic
15%. Yeah.
That said, you know, I think, and we're not we're not a fine dining restaurant, but we're also not a fast casual spot either. So we're trying to pair those menu items to make them things that are appealing for people to take away and take home. But it is, you know, we've seen a tremendous support from our local community, which I think Littleton and this North Country area is, you know, tremendous in that respect, in that people are excited to see that they have an opportunity to support us, and they have been doing that, which we're, you know, incredibly grateful for.
So people feel like they're supporting community when they come in and, you know, pick up a meal that your husband cooked.
Exactly. I mean, that's the sense we're getting, and we're hearing from a lot of regulars, which we really, really appreciate.
You've got a lot of challenges, Lori, and my heart goes out to you and all the small businesses that are really just trying to figure this out. What's the most immediate challenge for you?
I think the uncertainty that everyone's speaking about is really clear. You know, there's many layers to that uncertainty. One is, you know, how long will this go on? And so what are the next steps? You know, the week by week process at which we're pursuing our business is challenging as well. I mean, essentially every week we stop and say, my husband and I sit down and say, okay, was this worth it to sustain our business? Was it safe for our family? Is it a healthy choice? And can we continue to do this another week and still have it fulfill all of those benchmarks?
Wow. Well, what's your message, Lori, to the policymakers of New Hampshire?
I think that's a tricky question, but I think for us is to, you know, to provide some level of certainty that they are considering small business as they're doing this, and have an understanding of what that uncertainty looks like for the future for someone who is literally in it day to day. And on top of that, I think, you know, there's some great opportunities out there, but not knowing how long this is going to go on makes it difficult to decide how and when to pursue those opportunities, because we don't know what things will look like on the other side. I think, you know, our community is strong and will continue to rally and support the small businesses in it. But, you know, there is a lot of unknown. So the more known we can have in this time, the better.
Yeah. Well, Lori, thank you very much. And good luck to you and your husband.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
That's Lori Aldrin. She and her husband own the Beale House in Littleton, a bed and breakfast, as well as a restaurant. Coming up, we'll hear from a lot more business owners, and we'll talk to Bruce Berkey, State Director of the National Federation of Independent Businesses in New Hampshire. We'll hear what he's hearing from his members. Our phone number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. More in a moment. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today, the economic effects of the coronavirus pandemic here in New Hampshire. In this first hour, we're talking with members of the state's business community about the shutdowns, slowdowns, and how they're coping. Let's hear from you. If you're an employer yourself or you care about your town's local businesses, join us with your comments and questions at 1-800-892-6477. Our email is exchange at nhpr.org. With me for the hour, Jennifer Wheeler, president of the Exeter Area Chamber of Commerce, and Phil Suter, president and CEO of the Greater Keene Chamber of Commerce. And Phil, to you, what did you pull out of that conversation that we had with Lori? Boy, just, you know, trying to figure it out day by day, week by week.
Well, it's heartbreaking. And, you know, I don't think we should sugarcoat what's going on. There are businesses who are very concerned about their ability to simply provide. We have those in our part of the state, and I'm sure they're all over the state, whether it's a wellness business I heard about who, you know, just expanded a few months ago and now has no revenue, or a hair salon business who's been building itself up for 10 years now and really scared that they're going to lose it all. So that's very heartbreaking. What I think is important is that businesses reach out, whether it's to a chamber or to their municipality or to some other agency in their community, to get the information that they need about where help may be found. And it's information triage is kind of the business we're in as chambers this day. There's a lot of information out there, and it's very confusing for us and for certainly for businesses of all kinds. So reach out, and for those people who want to help a business, you know, ask them, how can I help? Because they need it, and there are people out there who have the ability to help.
Well, and Jennifer, to that point, Lori did say that people in Littleton are, you know, buying those takeout meals from the Beale House just to kind of say that they support their local business. What can Granite Staters who care about their Main Street economies, and I know people in Exeter love their Main Street economies, what can they do to support these local companies in this time?
Well, I think Phil, you know, honestly hit the nail on the head. We're seeing, and Lori mentioned this a little bit as well, which is the outpouring of support from community. It's overwhelming, and we're seeing that the community now more than ever recognizes the importance of supporting local business. So my advice, as Phil said, would be to reach out and ask the local businesses how they're doing and what they need. It could be purchasing gift cards now to use later or buying items for future pickup. That said, you know, honestly, I think it starts with following the guidelines that are put in place to protect the public's health, because the reality is that the quicker we can get the situation under control and begin to flatten the curve, the quicker our businesses and communities can recover.
All right, let's go back to our listeners. And Nola is calling in. Hi, Nola. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, go ahead, Nola.
Well, I am a solo business owner. I own Pilates, etc. in Tilton. And my husband and I actually moved here to open the business about 2.5 years ago, so it's a pretty young business. And I tried to keep open till about Thursday last week. I reduced my class sizes to 3 people, so I'd have 9 feet distance between those who wanted to come. But my attrition was like 90% within a week. And then I had to close Friday, so we're closed. There's no business at all.
So what are you going to do, Nola, for the time being?
Oh, boy. Well, I applied for unemployment. I'm trying to do an application for SBA loan right now. Looking at my savings, we're going through our financials closely with our accountant, doing everything I can to stay connected to my clients and trying to, like someone said earlier, be as creative and inventive as I can to, you know, keep the doors open when they reopen. And it's tough. It's tough. Yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah, I heard about the owner of a yoga studio who had to close her studio, really, really caring about the people that came, you know, 3 times a week for yoga. It was very important to them, and just heartbreaking for her to close that studio.
Yeah, I haven't slept very well. Yeah, that's what's really hard, that when I had the classes the last couple of weeks, people were coming and saying how grateful they were that I was still open. It's the only place they could go, that they felt safe. And, you know, it's a healthy, safe place to be because we work out. And now that that's gone for a lot of my clients, one of the things I'm trying to do is figure out quick ways to get information to them, even if it's like little 5-minute YouTube workouts, you know, body openers and simple stuff that people can do. Because I'm an equipment-based studio for the most part. So in Pilates,
sure,
you can do equipment or mat, and most people do equipment.
Well, this relates to what somebody said earlier, is just trying to change the business model. And when we come out of this, are we going to do things a little bit differently? Nola, good luck to you. And thank you very much for calling in.
Can I ask a couple of questions, though?
I'm so sorry. I've got a couple people that I need to move on to. Can you maybe just ask one question?
Yes. Regarding the loans that are supposed to be out for small businesses that are coming out.
Sure.
I'm just wondering where people like myself who don't actually draw a payroll and who work for themselves and don't have multiple employees, where we fit into that scenario, because that is bringing me some sense of urgency as well.
Well, I'm really glad you asked that question, Nola. And again, next hour, we've got the Deputy Commissioner for New Hampshire Employment Security talking about unemployment insurance. But Jennifer, can you guide her a little bit? We do hear a lot about, you know, SBA loans for small businesses and so forth. How do you even get started with that?
You know, it's overwhelming. The first place to start, honestly, is to go to the Small Business Association, the New Hampshire is available, and they is through this process that.
Okay, Jennifer, I think we missed some of what you said there. Could you say it again, please?
Oh, sorry. My suggestion was to reach out to the New Hampshire District Office of the Small Business Association, because they can help you navigate that process. Another resource, again, would be the Small Development Center. They have advisors ready to the process.
I think we're having problems with your phone, and we will try to reconnect with you because we definitely want that information out there. Phil, I know the New Hampshire Bankers Association has said it wants to help, saying that local bankers are part of the community too. What might banks do to ease the pain of this for small business owners like our caller?
Well, I think it's important that any business that has a relationship with the bank or a loan with a bank reaches out to that bank and talks about their loan. And many banks are either relaxing some of their repayment schedules or doing some of that. We as a small chamber, we're a small business too, and I just had a conversation with our bank yesterday, and so I would encourage people to reach out to their banks. As Jen was saying, look at the SBA website. In many places around the state, there are small business development centers. They're very good at interpreting what kinds of resources are available in their area. So there are a number of places to reach out, and I think the important thing is that people do reach out and, you know, make some calls. And we don't know all the answers as a chamber, but we're pretty good at putting people in touch with the people that do know the answers.
Well, and toward that end, we have with us now on the line is Bruce Berkey. He's state director with the National Federation of Independent Businesses in New Hampshire. And Bruce, welcome back. Really good to have you.
Good morning, Laura. I just wish I was here under better circumstances.
You know, I was saying that earlier to our other guests. Absolutely, Bruce. Just remind us what kind of businesses your organization represents, please.
Laura, the members of NFIB are really the mom and pops of New Hampshire. These are businesses that either just a single sole proprietor, or they might have five employees, they might have 15 or 20. Some of the larger ones might approach 50 or 100, but most of them are, you know, 20 to 25 employees or less.
Well, we just heard, I don't know if you were on the line then, Bruce, we just heard from Nola, who owns a small Pilates studio up in the Lakes region. She's had to shut down. I'm sure you've heard stories like this again and again. And she was wondering how to connect with some of the assistance that might be out there from the state or federal governments. What do you think? What's the best way to sort of get started? She said she's feeling overwhelmed, and I'm guessing there are a lot of listeners who feel the same way.
Well, I certainly understand that. There's a lot of information coming at us from both the federal and state level, and a couple of your earlier guests talked about drinking from a fire hose, and that's what it has felt like for the last couple of weeks. But with respect to NOLA and her concerns and needs with the U.S. Small Business Administration, there's on the New Hampshire website for COVID-19 under the Department of Business and Economic Affairs, there's a fair amount of information with respect to applying for small business loans, New Hampshire's Business Finance Authority, as well as its Community Development Finance Authority. On the 18th of this month, the governor's request to have New Hampshire declared as a disaster area was granted by the Small Business Administration, and so there's a fact sheet on the website where you might click on to find out applying for an SBA loan, and it talks about you know, what the components of that loan would be, and how you would go about getting it.
I've heard a lot, Bruce, about either extremely low interest loans or forgivable loans, but eventually a loan has to be paid back. I wonder how your members are feeling about taking on more debt, even under very generous repayment terms that we're hearing about these days.
Well, some loans need to be repaid, and others not necessarily, depending on how they end up being structured under the federal Paycheck Protection Program that was passed, I guess it was finally signed last Saturday, once it got through the Senate and House, is a structure whereby designed to, you know, aid businesses through this process and to allow them to come in and ask for up to, I think it's about 250% of 1 month's business costs, and those business costs primarily focus on payroll, but then it can also help with utilities and rent and leases as well. So that is a program that if the business owner uses those monies for those things that I just talked about, for the 8 week period between or any 8 week period between February 15th and June 30th of this year, that would be a forgivable loan.
How much are your members, Bruce, temporarily laying off workers so that they can collect unemployment insurance, which, by the way, has been expanded, and we'll hear about that in the next hour. But is this a pretty common practice these days? You know, employees, we love you, we appreciate you, we want to hire you back, but right now we're laying you off so that you can get these benefits.
You know, Laura, I hate to say it, but it is happening. And you heard that from some of your earlier guests and callers, and it is heart-wrenching. You know, these smaller businesses that are members of NFIB, they're really like family. And it's really a very tough situation for both the employer and the employee.
Bruce, we've talked many times over the years, and I know you're a fiscal conservative, and I wonder how you feel about this massive expansion of government in terms of unemployment insurance, in terms of, you know, loans to businesses and so forth. This is at some point going to blow up deficits and debt. And I wonder how you feel about that.
Yeah, that's a tough one, Laura. Thank you for asking me. I think that if we didn't do something like that, the situation would be worse. I think we really have got to, you know, come to the rescue of these small businesses and the business community in general. Otherwise, you know, as some of your guests have talked about this morning, on the other end, what are we going to be faced with? There's so much uncertainty out there. We don't know what the duration is going to be. And yes, there will be some retooling along the way. Businesses traditionally, you know, throughout history have, you know, changed, whether it's due to new regulations or new markets or, you know, new competition. You know, businesses are always changing, always finding new ways to try and do things. And I think that you'll see that once we begin to come out of this. The entrepreneurial spirit of this country is strong, and it will take a while, but I think we will come back and we'll be strong again.
Well, a welcome message, Bruce Berkey. Thank you very much for being with us this hour. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Laura.
That's Bruce Berkey. He's state director of the National Federation of Independent Businesses in New Hampshire. As we head into a break, here's another email from Evan, who says, I own a residential summer camp for kids and teens in the Lakes region. We've received no guidance yet from the state on whether we will have a season or not. Evan says, my business likely will not survive if we cannot operate this year. The stimulus package also seems to have no provision for seasonal businesses with seasonal employees like mine. Evan, we will pick up that thought after a short break and take a lot more of your calls as well. So stay with us. This is The Exchange on NHPR. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Next hour on The Exchange, new help for the newly unemployed. Stay with us for that at 10 o'clock. Right now, we're talking with members of the state's business community about the shutdowns, slowdowns, and how they're coping. Let's hear from you. If you own a business or you're a strong supporter of your local business community, we'd love to hear from you. Join us with your comments, concerns, questions. Our number is 1-800-892-6477. Our email is exchange@nhpr.org. Joining me from Keene is Phil Suter. He is president and CEO of the Greater Keene Chamber of Commerce. And Phil, before we go to a couple other businesses that we're going to talk to, I want to get your thoughts about that email from Evan. He runs a summer camp. He doesn't see a lot of support for seasonal businesses like his. What have you heard? New Hampshire certainly has a lot of seasonal businesses, both in terms of summer and winter activities.
It's a really good question, Laura, and I have to be honest and say I don't know exactly what the provisions are for seasonal businesses. But to pick up on something that Bruce was talking about, and the SBA is the acronym that comes up all the time these days, there are several SBA things going on at once, and they're putting together the mechanics of it even as we speak. But one of the things that people should know of is what's called EIDL, or the Economic Injury Disaster Loan application. And that's very specific and should be a little bit quicker in terms of getting money into the business's hands. I think it's up to $10,000 for small businesses, and that may help people stay afloat even when they're not open. So I encourage, again, people to get in touch with SBA or get in touch with their chamber or their local city government or somebody who could point them in that direction. That's going to be helpful. But the seasonal question is a very, very good one. I'm going to look into it.
Yeah, well, Evan, good luck to you. Boy, summer camp's a beloved part of life here in the Granite State for many families. So our best to you, Evan. Joining us now is another entrepreneur who has been set back by this pandemic. With us on the line is Kristen Hardwick. She's a Wilton-based photographer and co-owner of the Co-Working House in Milford. And Kristen, good to have you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
So let's talk about the photography business first. Kristen, what type of photography do you do?
My main focus is headshots and branding photography for service-based entrepreneurs, so photographing people.
So not so much weddings and bar mitzvahs and so forth?
Nope. I gave up weddings and family portraits and anything like that about 3 years ago.
And has your photography business mostly shut down, Kristen, or are people still getting some of these professional headshots done?
It has shut down almost entirely. There are a few requests coming in, but given that we are non-essential, we've been asked to not, you know, operate business at this time. So we're kind of in a holding pattern, a wait and see.
How did this happen for you, Kristen? Did your business kind of trickle off, as we heard from Nola earlier, who owns the Pilates studio? Did it trickle off, or was it just a sudden, you know, stop?
It felt more like a sudden stop. I did have, you know, bookings out about 6 weeks when this started to happen. So we were able to reschedule. Some of my clients have postponed until later this summer. But then, you know, no new business is getting booked. So the pipeline will dry up eventually.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and I'd like to ask you about the other part of your business, and that's the co-working house in Milford. First off, what is that, Kristen? It sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's a shared workspace and community for local entrepreneurs, remote workers, startup businesses, that sort of stuff. So we provide, you know, a great office space, private offices, open co-working seating, conference rooms, you know, all the amenities and fast Wi-Fi.
Yeah, and I've heard about some of these businesses. How was it going before the pandemic?
It was going awesome. We were down to about only two vacancies for our private offices. And our open memberships were flourishing. We were beating all the odds. We were doing great.
Wow. How much is that still up and running?
So we are closed to the general public. We do have a few members who are considered essential employees. So they are still utilizing the space, but they all have separate private offices within the space so they can go and be, you know, distanced and safely working separate.
How hopeful are you, Kristen, that both sides of what you do, the photography and the co-working space, are going to be able to pull out of this once we're sort of given the all clear that it's safe to come out?
Yeah. Yeah. I think photography, there will always be a need for. I think personally, the one-to-one model might not be where my focus is going forward. The co-working business, I think, is going to see a huge expansion as a result of this. I think that in a year we'll look back and see this as, you know, a great opportunity. All of these companies have been forced to learn how to work remotely. All of these people have been forced to quarantine and work from home. So they're seeing the isolation and seeing how, you know, working from home isn't necessarily the best. And then I think also there's a lot of people that are going to come out on the other side of this without a job and be forced to kind of bootstrap or, you know, start working on that thing that they'd always wanted to work on, start a business. So I think in a year from now, we will be just fine. We'll be here and ready to serve our community.
Oh, that's great to hear. So that's interesting. So people who've been dislocated by this, you know, what might be an economic crisis, I don't want to get too dramatic, but people might say, you know, I always wanted to be a such and such. I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to start this venture. And oh, by the way, I need a nice headshot. I think I'll call Kristen. So you're optimistic that that's going to happen.
I'm cautiously optimistic. We're hedging our bets here.
All right. Well, it's great to hear from you. And thank you for the note of optimism, Kristen. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
That's Kristen Hardwick again. She's a photographer and she's co-owner of something called the Co-Working House in Milford. The number for you to join our conversation today as we talk about the impact on New Hampshire businesses of the coronavirus pandemic is 1-800-892-6477. And Phil Suter and Keen, let's go right back to our listeners. Alex is calling in from Holderness. Hi, Alex. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Laura. Thank you very much. Our number one thing at our restaurant is for our staff. We've had to lay off 700 people, and it's the biggest pain I've experienced in my life.
And 700 people you had to let go at your restaurants, Alex.
Yes. We've closed 8 of our 16, and we have 7 or 8 open. And that's the biggest hurt I have, and then to our community. But we are feeding our common man. Those people come in every day for their family meals, so that helps a little bit. And we've, of course, started a fund for people who can call our office and get help for if they're really in need of food or anything. Then we take care of them one at a time. And it's just been emotionally draining, and I feel for everyone.
And yeah, I can hear that in your voice. And yeah, just to let listeners know, this is Alex Ray of Common Man family of restaurants. So, Alex, what's this been like for you? I mean, you've been in business in New Hampshire for a long time. Oh, we lost Alex. Okay. Well, that's what happens when everyone is remote. Sometimes the lines drop. So, Alex, it was good to hear from you. And I have been reading about the support you've been trying to give to those 700 workers that you had to let go. Thanks a lot for calling in. Lori is calling in from Boscawen. Hi, Lori. Go ahead. You're on the exchange. Thanks for being with us.
Hi. Glad to be here and glad to hear these discussions with businesses. I think it's so important, especially in the small and micro business community, that we all share and work together to try to come out of this hole.
What's your type of business, Lori?
I'm a florist, so technically I'm deemed essential. But the problem with being essential is if you don't have those non-essential businesses that provide you your income and your work, then it's hard to be very essential. For me, you know, the restaurants are a primary because events occur at restaurants, table flowers occur at restaurants. So without them, I lose a good percentage of my business. Then also, you go, of course, the churches, and the churches have been canceled. Weddings are being canceled. Graduations are being canceled. Funerals are canceled. So that's the mainstay of the business. And then all the holidays, St. Patrick's Day, Easter, Administrative Professionals Day. And if we lose Mother's Day in May, that's the biggest holiday for the floral industry. That's huge. And no graduations, no dance recitals, no proms, no sports events. And those are other venues where we earn income. And my supplier, I've been in business 30 years, and my major supplier closed, which is unheard of. They've been in business since the 1940s, laid off 122 employees. And,
wow.
You know, so even getting product now is a challenge. And then you have to take everything you can get. And if you don't have the business coming in, what do you do? It's a perishable product. And we made the decision that rather than throw it away, which is happening throughout the industry, our small farms and whatnot and Dutch product is all being thrown away, that we're going to do arrangements and give them away. So this weekend we did 350 arrangements for the Merrimack County Nursing Home. Today we did 28 arrangements for the Peabody Home. And we're just thinking of people who are locked down that we can get
sure.
this product
Bring
to rather
cheer.
Than throw it away.
Laura, can I ask you a quick question? Did I hear you right that you are considered an essential business?
Correct.
I'm kind of surprised by that, to be honest. I love flowers, don't get me wrong, but I don't know. What are we to make of that, that florists are essential businesses?
Well, we're an agricultural business. So we use a lot of agricultural product that comes from smaller farms. And we provide a way for them to sell their product into the marketplace. Also, I think we're emotional support. Because, quite frankly, have you ever seen a funeral without flowers or a wedding without flowers or any major event in your life without flowers? And then right now, because the nursing homes are in lockdown, hospitals are in lockdown, the only way for a family member to interact with their loved one is through flowers.
It was kind of hard to hear you list that long list of events that you're usually working on very hard and contributing lots of flowers, you know, church services, Easter, funerals, yeah. dance recitals, graduations. Wow, Lori, it's tough. What are your hopes of how you will either maintain your way through this? And as we've heard from a lot of businesses this hour, change your model when we all come out.
Yes. Well, and the model is, and I've got to say, even with 30 years of experience, I've never seen, I've been through two recessions and 9/11. I've never seen anything like this. So it is a new world. But I keep in touch with all of my business colleagues whom I've provided services for so many years. We're in communication with each other. We coach each other. We provide each other emotional support because we are of a strong mindset. We're small businesses. We're resilient, that we're going to come out of this on the other side. We're coaching each other in terms of applying for SBA loans and doing what we can to help each other. And I think that's the strength of the small business community. We really are family, and we work to help each other through these very difficult times.
All right. Well, Lori, it's good to hear from you, and good luck. Thanks for calling in today.
Thank you.
And let's take one more call. Rudy is calling in from Ringe. Hi, Rudy. You're on The Exchange. Welcome. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm an innkeeper here in Ringe, New Hampshire. I have a Woodbound Inn. We have a restaurant and bar. We have a hotel. We do weddings and banquets. And we kind of like, we're losing weddings and family reunions, cooking groups. You know, all the way through June now because people are so uncertain. And although my restaurant business, and I want to give a shout out to my community because they have really, last week was our first week doing takeout. When this first started, we shut down the restaurant and the hotel for a week just to strategize. We put on an online ordering system on our website. We created a menu that had a really good variety because we knew people were going to, you know, not that mom's cooking is not great, but sometimes she needs a rest too. And you can only eat so much pizza and Chinese food, so we wanted to make sure that, you know, there was a good variety out there for people, you know, fresh quality product, and the community really rallied behind us last week, and we hope to continue that momentum moving forward because it's softening the blow, although we're still taking a really big hit, and, you know, I'm worried about the future. You know, it's nice that the community is coming around to allow me to keep some of my employees employed, and it just really feels good.
Oh, that's great, Rudy. And I'm guessing that it's been especially tough for you in Ringe because the university there is shut down. So that may be a source of, you know, people coming in for graduations and people coming in to visit their kids and stuff.
May is one of our busiest months of the year. And coming out of a slow winter, you know, winters are always slow. We rely on these, you know, April and May and, you know, to really get us going into the season, and to lose it all, when you've already, you know, we're pinching pennies just coming out of the winter and get gearing up for, you know, the season. It's just, it's pretty terrifying.
Yeah. Well, Rudy, good luck. I'll let you go. I appreciate you being with us. All right. Take care.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Wow, Phil Suter, I don't even know what to say. It's heartbreaking to hear about all the uncertainty, and yet I'm also hearing, you know, some resilience in the voices of callers like Rudy and Lori and, boy, Kristen, she was saying, I'm going to come out of this better than ever before. What do you make of that, Phil?
It's what makes us who we are here in New Hampshire. I'm encouraged by that, too. And while there's a lot of anxiety and potentially bad news for people, and we need to support them and embrace them as best we can, there is a kind of connectedness in our state that's pretty special. And, you know, here in Keene, we've partnered with Mayor George Hansel and the city to do a weekly, you know, WebEx Zoom kind of meeting with the business community. And we're staying connected that way. And people are figuring out how to stay connected. And that's going to be as important as anything else in the weeks and months ahead, to lean on each other, to reach out for help, to offer help, and find places that need help. There are some employers who are looking for employees now, as counterintuitive as that may sound.
What kind of kinds of businesses, Phil, are looking for employees now, like delivery businesses or grocery stores, or who's looking for workers?
Well, I think that's some of it. Remember, we were in a place of very, very low unemployment. So some of the businesses that were looking for employees a month ago are still looking for them. Manufacturers, in many cases, are looking for employees. I know Smith's Medical here in our part of the state is looking for people. And Rivermead is a retirement community in Peterborough that is always looking for good people. So there are some opportunities out there for people who may be either inclined to make a change or in need of making a change. And if you want to know where some of those places might be or how to get in touch with them, give us a call or give your local chamber a call and we'll try to connect you.
Well, Phil, good to talk to you and hope to talk to you soon, hopefully with better times in front of us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Laura.
That's Phil Suter, President and CEO of the Greater Keene Chamber of Commerce. I also want to acknowledge our conversation with Jennifer Wheeler. We lost her line. She's president of the Exeter Area Chamber of Commerce. Well, coming up, more on the economic effects of the coronavirus, we'll talk to the Deputy Commissioner of New Hampshire Employment Security about new initiatives to help the newly unemployed. That's coming up at 10 o'clock, so stay with us.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you liked what you heard, spread the word. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts to help other listeners find us. And thanks.